Blog Talk Radio.
Walking around.
anticipating what you would do to me, what you gonna do to me.
Lamborghini, fast whips. She down to ride and deserves a boss who down to provide. We run the streets but on G5s, I'm talking fly. Boots and blue jeans, Cartier, newer rings. You with a big boy, so we do the big things. Had the valet parking, Chanel hoodie on. Looking like Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman on warning. She on my wanted poster, Ciroc and my mimosa. I'm ballin' like LeBron, we shopping in Milan. The 458 Ferrari, I park it on the lawn. I let her meet my tongue, she blew up like a bomb. The sex is so explosive, her stuff is supersonic. She my new addiction, I swear I'm through with chronic. Rosé and Usher Raymond, girl, we the hottest. Rocking the most ice, I said we the hottest.
You've been saying all
drip. You are equipped with succulent lips and those Ford-figured hips. Ass sits like a statue of thoroughbred Eastern Continental goddess, and you got this way of making me want to write erotic and tasty bars like a Milky Way dressed in lingerie. The looks we trade explains that you digging what I say. My display is California swag with the Midwest tongue, gangster grunge hung, and it hits like a Selassie-eyed Nazi root boy that will lick your pearl tongue ting a time or two. Me not true till you come, did me pull out me stun gun and go on to run your poom poom plum with the cadence of a snare drum. My surgeon seed is in need of your perfect randomness. Caress and handle my mammal. Uplift this gift. My simple wish is that you grip me with your fist and make this mic drip. Just like that. Make my mic drip. You're tripping, you get me tripping when you do it like that. Acrobatic tongue lashes on my demographic has me breathing asthmatic. You're fantastic at classically mastering my apparatus like you practice verbal gymnastics, and I find it attractive that you swag with your gag when you're orally active. My stretch is asking, rather demanding that you back that fatness in my direction. Crash my erection with the wetness of your intersection. I'm collecting electric vibes from your amplified love sounds when I'm inside. Your midnight cry strokes the ego of my earlobes as if my stronghold is at the mercy of your lips. I'm missed with your grip, and we fit as if we were made up for each other by a locksmith. So enamor me with your gifts. Let your temple be filled with my mist at this climax of our trip. I just ask you this. Can you make this mic drip? Hey, 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 yo, 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 what is going on, family? Yo, check it out. Drip the mic. We bring to you a very, 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 very exciting show this evening. I'm super pumped for this. I am super pumped for this. We got open mics. We got guests. We got, you know what? I'm going to do it like this. Let me do it like this. So, once upon a time, way back when, before there was a Facebook, before there was an IG, before there was a Twitter, there was this website I used to go to, right? And you would click on a website, and as soon as you log into the website, this world would open up, right? You just this world. Again, this is pre Facebook. This is pre Twitter. This is pre IG. I don't know. MySpace. I don't know. Might have been around, something like that. But I remember, man, I would log on to this website and I would just hear.
One time. Yo, all I need is one mic, one beat, one stage, one nigga front, my face on the front page. Only if I had one gun, one girl and one crib, one God to show me how to do things the sun did. Pure, like a cup of virgin blood, mixed with 151, one sip will make a nigga flip, writing names on my hollow tips.
Right, you would hear that, right? And then all of a sudden your pen would just get this excitement to it, get you pumped. And you will open up this website and all these different, this world will open up, right, with all these different genres. And you just go into whichever mood you're in that day, you just go into that genre, and you would just find some of the most illest, dopest spills, and you're alone with that. You're alone with these people's thoughts. I'm talking about the Black Poetry Cafe, y'all. Y'all remember that. Y'all remember the Black Poetry Cafe. Well, they back. They back, y'all. And like I said in my post, we here for it. And I'm really, really extra excited because we were able to get two of the representatives from the Black Poetry Cafe to join us this evening. And right now we're just going to try to go back and get some of that old Black Poetry Cafe magic back tonight. And we're going to welcome them back just to the community and just give them the proper love. Because I think the very first time I ever even did a radio show was, I want to say either late 2005 or early 2006. And it was, on Blog Talk Radio with the Black Poetry Cafe. That was the very, very first time I ever did a radio. And that's where I basically cut my radio show teeth. So without further ado, I'm not going to hold this up too much. Again, we have some representatives here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like for you to help me welcome two of the Black Poetry Cafe's finest. They're going to help me run this thing tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we have in the building Just Me and Queen Pen, y'all. Let's give them a warm welcome.
How y'all doing?
Hello, 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 ladies. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing well. How are
hello.
You?
Yes, doing good.
I am doing well. Listen, I can't thank you ladies enough for taking the time out of your evening to help me pay homage and just honor the Black Poetry Cafe tonight. I just can't thank you guys enough for being here with me.
Definitely our
pleasure.
Thank
you for having us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, man, we're going to have a blast tonight, man. This thing is going to go crazy tonight, so I'm really excited about it. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to both be here and to welcome the BPC back. We took a little bit of a hiatus through the pandemic. The pandemic was affecting our live events, so we kind of just paused everything for a while. So it's great to be back.
Right, right, right. And you know, I'm glad you kind of opened that door for us. So do you have some things that, and either one of you ladies, but feel free to answer this question. What are some things that we as, you know, longtime fans and supporters, and a lot of us who have cut our teeth with the Black Poetry Cafe, like I said in the beginning, before there was a Facebook, before there was an IG, before there was a Twitter, what can we expect?
Well, so first let me say that that's something that I am constantly working on, Mark, about. Mark is trying to move very slowly this time. For those who are familiar with BPC, we used to have a yearly live event, a 3 to 4 day event that would happen in different locations throughout the country, where we would bring poets together from all over and just have, you know, 3 days of fun and poetry. With, like I said, with the pandemic, we stopped doing that. So on this return right now, Mark is focusing more so on the Facebook groups for right now. He's not certain that he's going to be doing those events again. If so, it certainly wouldn't be until probably next year. But I am working on him daily because I desperately want those events to come back. So anybody that's out there listening, feel free to encourage Mark in the group to let's get this thing popping again, because it's what we all want. He's going to kill me when he hears this.
He's absolutely for encouraging it.
But for right now, we really are just trying to focus on the group. So there are two groups at the moment. There is one group that is more so for that era that you mentioned, Aziz, of pre-Facebook or the really, really early days of BPC. A lot of them, they have their own kind of little, you know, cliques and groups and people. They're very familiar with each other. They're not so much interested in the events, and they're not really the modern, I don't want to say modern, that's not the current group. So there's a group for them, and then there's a group for those who remember the poetry events and who used to hang out at the events and all of that. So right now we're just kind of cultivating the groups and trying to make sure that we bring the right group of people together. And then if things go well, I'm pretty sure we can convince Mark to try a show or two.
Right, exactly. To try it out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, like I said in the beginning, you are at the official party of the welcoming back of the Black Poetry Cafe. You are listening to Drip the Mic. My name is Aziz, the pulmonologist. I am the CEO of Drip the Mic, and I am currently joined by just me and Queen Pen. If you want to be a part of this, if you want to call in, because we want to hear your pens tonight. That's what, at the end of the day, that's what this is all about. This is about this open mic and it's sharing your thoughts with us. So at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And if you want to be heard, if you want to make this mic drip, please dial that number, 646-378-0355, and press 1 to make this mic drip. You ladies here for some poetry?
Ready for some poetry.
Oh,
always.
Yeah.
Is that right? So listen. So a couple of things. There's a way that we do this here at the Mic. Melissa, I'm pretty sure you've been here, so you know how we get down here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a question. There's a burning question that we always have here at Drip the Mic. And that's going to be the question of the evening. And with that being said, I asked a favor of you two ladies a couple of days ago in our messenger group. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I know what you're referring to.
Yes. So with that being said, I'm going to go to Just Me. Just Me, I got a question for you.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Can you make this mic drip?
I'm going to make it drip. I'm going to make it burn. I'm going to make it go to static. I'm going to do all that.
Yes, that's what we're here for. All right, the mic is yours.
All right. I'm going to start off with a piece that is a little humorous but a little truthful, and it's titled silent prayer from both sets of my lips to God's ears.
Oh, wow.
Our Father, who art in heaven. This dude can't make me say his name. Thy kingdom come, because chances are I won't. I'm so done. Because he lied when he said his dick could move the earth and make it feel like heaven. I mean, give me at least this day some decent head. I am and have always been a thinker. Not much can turn off my brain. Attempts to do so are often in vain, though there is at least one time when my mind goes as blank as the page before I sit down to write, but only if the moment is right. Explosive sex. It can have the same effect as a flash of dynamite exploding before me, especially if he sets the mood and takes the time to explore me. Lord knows I sorely miss those times where all I could do was feel and be heard. No thoughts formed, no words, just incoherent groans and deep guttural moans. That's the one and only time my mind leaves home. I lose my shit when he finds my spot, but more often than not, the sex just ain't that good. You know, the kind that even before it starts, you can't wait for its ending, when you have to spend the entire time pretending. Meanwhile, he's swearing that he's putting it on me, but all I can think about is grocery shopping, getting my oil changed, and doing my laundry. And just like that, I just want to get it over with. Lord, the fraud some of these brothers perpetrate. I could have had a V8 instead. And even if there is nothing said, you can best believe I'm having a whole damn conversation in my head like, fuck being kind, because, brother, everything is wrong from your bump to your grind. I mean, could this be a bigger waste of time? I know this can't be it. Not after you talked all that shit about how you were going to hit this fat ass so right that you was going to have me looking for you in broad daylight with a flashlight. Remember? You were going to rock my world, leave me with my legs shaking, back twisted, toes curled, and calling out for God. Bruh, you had one fucking job. You said you had the skill to handle the position I needed to fill, but still can't seem to put in work, and still I remain silent to keep your feelings from getting hurt, listening to you assert how your dick was going to have me deep in love, how our first time together would be the stuff wet dreams were made of. But Lord, I was done. Wait. Did you just tell me to make you come 3 or 4 weak-ass pumps and then you're all done? Hell, I guess now so am I. So you'll leave with a smile, and we both know why, because I'll be left with my face wet with tears of frustration and my pussy bone dry. This shit was whack. Bragged how your dick was gonna make me call you daddy when it ain't even good enough to make me call you back. But I'll consider that a lesson learned. Next time I will better discern who gets between these thighs, will never again rely solely on a brother's words. Because he'll Shakespeare his way in, but fuck what you heard. He probably won't live up to his own hype. He don't know the first thing about laying pipe. He's not at all how he made himself look. He's not a plumber in real life. He just plays one on Facebook. So I won't accept any old thing due to low self-esteem. You wanted me to gag while I sucked, but before I refuse to get dirty for a man who won't lick this pussy clean. So our Father, forgive me not for keeping things between us platonic, as I forgive him for his lack of sexual prowess, and lead my fingers into masturbation so as to deliver me an orgasm, for I am the queendom with enough batteries to power myself to glory forever and ever, or at least for tonight. Amen. And that's that piece.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yo. There were so many parts of the comment, but it was, you kept coming back with more, and I will forget about the part. Like, I wanted to comment on the V8 part, right? But then she came and said something about, you want me to call you daddy, but nigga, I don't even want to call you back. Like, oh my God. Listen, fellas, y'all got to kick that shit out or don't talk shit. Period.
Okay, point exactly, blank. Brother.
Pick that. If you ain't sure, then Don't say nothing. Just wait as best you can.
Show and prove. Shut up and show and prove. That's what I say.
Right. I don't even know this brother. I don't even know if this brother exists. But I feel
It's just a collaborative. That's all. It's not built on any one person.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant. Now we're not. I don't even like. I could touch on some of the things you were saying. Now we could go here and say like some of the capping you was doing, right? Because you was tearing him up. But that's easy to focus on. I want to focus on the genius in your wordplay. The wordplay on that was so on point to everything you were saying. It was just, you ever hear, like, sometimes I hear myself do wordplay, and sometimes it don't seem like it fit. Everything that you said fit exactly where it went. And I just thought there was a brilliance in that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It was a fun piece to do and write. It's not I don't normally do humorous pieces or anything like that, but I worked with my mentor on this one and had a ball doing it, so I'm glad it was well received. Thank you so much.
That was hilarious.
Yes, the humor definitely came through. Yes, for sure.
Really. Queen Pen, what was you saying to yourself?
I mean, it was just so much realness to it. I mean, I feel like the piece, you know, expressed a lot of what a lot of women may have experienced or do experience. And I definitely found myself over here chuckling and teasing at a lot of her lines.
So, as a woman, like, I'm pretty sure the listeners, like, as women, have you found yourself saying some of those exact same things, or some of the things that she was saying, were they a paraphrase of some things you thought or wanted to say?
Most definitely, like 1,000%.
And I will honestly say that I do think that it's reflective of a lot of women's experiences. Not every woman, of course, but the reason I say that is because this was born out of conversations with women. Like, I'm in Facebook groups with women. I have a very strong sisterhood. We talk about all kinds of things, and this is just some of the stuff, all kind of jumbled together, of course. That's why I said it's not based on, you know, any one personal experience or any one person, but so a collective of different stories that I've heard from sisters throughout my life. Yeah.
I could definitely see that. I mean, if I could put a face on that, it would be the guy that did the scene with Lila Roshan, Waiting to Exhale.
Absolutely. One of my favorite movies, definitely.
Yeah. If I could put a face to that, that's exactly where I see that going. Oh, wow. That was definitely brilliant. So, Queen Pen.
Yeah.
What brings it to you? This definitely brings me to you. And, yeah, so this is our opening cipher, by the way. So you are next up. And with that, I do have a question for you as well. And, Queen Pen, that question is, can you make this mic drip?
Yes, I'm on the job. I want to share this piece called The Straw. And it's a piece that I wrote back in 2020. When our nation was pretty much charged over all the Black Lives lost, police brutality and all of that. So this is The Straw.
Okay.
I've always held the belief that peace was the way to resolve conflict, but I find myself conflicted because Black bodies keep stacking, vilified and villainized to minimize the racism and injustice. Media buzzing, but cops don't feel the sting. White Americans protected by their screens of white privilege. Even though the saying goes, it takes a village to raise children, our children are not safe. Neither are we. While enduring domestic terrorism, are they supposed to be instilling the fear of God in us so we remain docile and subservient? Because every time we unite, every time a leader and freedom fighter rises up, they make sure to behead the king. They make sure to dishonor the queen, dismantle every movement. Yet we're always painted as the savages, but the founders of this nation were the ones bloodthirsty, cruel. They were the thieves, the rapists, the beasts, so quick to point fingers at the looting, riots, and protests. What do they expect with so much civil unrest? Quit looking only at the symptoms of injustice and inequality. Quit looking only at the symptoms of trauma and terror. The root of the problem is overlooked. The root of the problem is ignored. Our whole body is sick because one member is infected with hate. Before you know it, it's too late. Disease spreads, which begs the question, how do we heal the body? What is the solution? I say revolution. Although I've been under the illusion it could be done in peace, but pieces of my brothers and sisters lay waste in the streets. I hear some people say an eye for an eye is how we make it right. If the kingdom suffers violence, should not the kingdom also be violent? Otherwise, everything be taken by force? If peaceful revolution is what they want, then blood has to stop being spilled. Can we stop being killed for jogging, for walking, for minding our own business? We cannot continue business as usual. Fuel is constantly being added to the flame, and it won't be a surprise if the revolution rains blood because we're tired of the pain. Everything our ancestors fought for cannot be in vain. How many more need to be slain, incarcerated, wrongly convicted, discriminated against? We had a vigilante in Dallas, and many more will be born if they are met with scorn. I hear the horn blowing. Will America listen? Will they react before the final straw breaks the camel's back? Jill Scott Heron said the revolution will not be televised. He said it starts inside, in mind, in heart. The revolution opened her eyes. That's it.
Wow. I love the title. Now that I've heard the piece, I love the title for that piece. And it makes so much more sense now.
Yep.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Thank
she
you.
Said straw. I was like, straw? What the hell? But not if you... But you just brilliantly explained it in that piece, so I have no other questions. That was dope.
Yeah, I definitely love that. Anybody who knows me knows that conscious poetry is where my heart lives. I step out and play in other genres, but that's my home. And you nailed how we were feeling before the summer of George Floyd's death, throughout that time, and even now, how we still feel, because as much as things might quiet down for a while and we don't hear much about it, we know that it's still happening on a regular basis. We know we never really got resolution.
Yep.
We never really got a solution. So you're absolutely right. And I too wonder what it will be, the straw that finally breaks our backs and makes us, and when I say our, I mean as a country collectively, and makes us want to do something. So wonderful piece.
Exactly.
Thank you,
Justin.
I appreciate the feedback.
I agree wholeheartedly. I definitely agree wholeheartedly. I was trying to figure out which way I wanted to go with my opening piece as well. And that just swayed me over to the side. I was going to go erotic, but we're coming back. This is not our only site for this show, ladies, but we are coming back. So I guess I'll do that one second round. But that definitely swayed my piece. And with that being said, I guess this is what I pick up on. I guess I got to hold up to my bargain as well before we go to these mics. And because we got callers in the building, they ready, y'all. So before we go to the mics, I'm going to do my and we're going to get to rocking. Feel free if anybody wants to ask me a question. You ladies will be doing that. Or not.
Oh, I thought you were you planning to do a piece? That's what I thought you meant, like after you.
Oh, yes. I'm going to do a piece real quick before we go to the line.
Okay.
And this piece, it's called My Flow. This is my flow. Swift and gifted, mathematically lifted, oxygen projects from my tongue, speaking fast, processing slow. Mold liquid gold. Call it fertilizer and potted soil injecting growth. Seed show promise and hope. Wouldn't it be dope if every bro sold breath into a hurting bro? But see, they scared of that glow. If the culture explodes and begin to unload, the popular story told is if we were in control, we would be the instrument that places the tag on white supremacy's toe. Suburban myths seep from the lips of QAnon hosts, but it's just boast. People rose in droves. Stupidity showed. Capitol Officer Sicknick is a ghost, and these assholes tried to deem black votes a hoax. Your paranoia spoke. Now you misjudge our goals. Systemic racism has an ego that it will never let go. Well, hell, I don't know. It's over 400 years proved to show you can't hold another down without stunting your own growth. So know that we're cool on that note. Now his folks placed a vote for no on the Senate floor and convicting against thousands breaching the dough, looking for Mike Pence, who wasn't even the foe. He was the second in command of that D.C. shit show. Not to insult commodes, but that whole former West Wing should be in Guantanamo. True to my Jamaican mode, I'm rolled and in the hold of ganja smoking, like always, thoughts provoke. Republican folks said no to impeachment for the insurrection, but they tried to impeach Clinton years ago for just having an erection behind closed doors. In the days of the good old, CNOS was the goalpost that put most past poor in poverty, but some still had hope. In 2008, yes, we can. Great flawlessly, Ellen, about the shade of Alameda Beach sand, solidified itself as a historical quote to a Mount Rushmore deserving encroach. Mattrell learned on the go, called it like Madame Cleo, spoke letting us know that many will go low. Racism is a pro at disguising itself as policy or law so that equality crawls slow. Average Americans reject that reality, though, but black Americans have the built-in price that decays when racism, that unfolds when racism shows. All of us are born with it. It's just some has their set to off mode, as was the case when racism, fresh from an over-tanning stove, approached the White House as his abode. Immediately sent out, easily exposed, khaki pants and tiki torch fold. I guess hieroglyphics would have made his brain smoke. COVID hit, he choked like he swallowed the load while snorting coke. Drink bleach wasn't a joke. Obama did the most, so America pushed the envelope and retaliated with 45 to revolt. More of his homies in jail than any of my folks from East O. That poison has been awakened, and long after, the sickness will still float. My lovely wife, like this poem, she is my flow. African and all of its original, though the Philippines be her birth home, her first zip code, so she's imported, but her ink doesn't know. At one point, I would coach Hype Williams, directing something dope. My queen with her pen spazzing like Buster, and her pen would be flip mode. Now, that's news of old. She say she let the training wheels go. Read me something she wrote, and I'll rebuttal. Nah, that's way over the suggested weight limit that training wheels can hold. Jewelry, in the shape of an O, on our matching middles as committal to sharing life's workload. It's been my blessing to behold her writing episodes. Insidious pen strokes possess demons in the diaries of Chernobyl. Desperately trying to avoid catching verbal turf toe. Erotic word flow assisted her intro into many earlobes, but that's a closed road in the physical. Her royal virtual, her rural virtuosity is always virtual. It's just her pen game is kind of a hoe. Cross that line, just remember God forgives, I don't. But lately I've been froze by where her pen goes. You see, at night before that last hour strokes, we have convos about everything from sexual to issues affecting our social. We allow each other to educate, and as of late, I've been able to appreciate hearing her pen regurgitate off my plate the food I fed her soul like cliff notes. My high school grades would never say so, but as far as the three governing branches go, I've always been a history troll. I trust none of those mofos, so I study where they've been to understand where they're trying to go. If current affairs saturates my quotes, my wife also gets soaked. We're like the twins on G.I. Joe. Only difference is we eloped. I call her my canvas, but she is also my echo. Not one word spoke. We communicate like TV and remote. Accidentally, we collaborate without even knowing we're both in a labo. We heard the flow, so conspiracy, so anecdotes that left our country barely afloat at the end of its rope so much that Kamala and Joe had us listen to Yolanda Adams blow, singing hallelujah to heal a country left battered and broke. 4 more years, we'd be post-war third world buried under world smoke. Maybe that's the hope of the Christian geos. I know I trust my penis in the mouth of a cannibal before I believe evangelicals are the people that God chose. More gold is the gold, and those were sold. Rush to capital like trailer park land was being sold, and that was pissed off the Pope. They claim they didn't know, but Michael Cohen's told. He is the lawyer that paid $100K to shush Stormy Daniels, who was Donald Trump's hoe. But let's juxtapose. Suppose my folks were xenophobe, decided to lock and load, then rolled on the capital in the optical of the whole globe. Will Washington allow that visual or show white national style colored individuals are expendable? It's just invisible constitutional quid pro quo. And this has been my flow. And that's my drip.
Wow. Yeah, it's the flow for me, Aziz. The flow is fierce. Like, it's just, and the point, like, I feel you when you said to me there was so much that I wanted, every time I wanted to say something, something else came. Everything from Stormy Daniels to Barack Obama to Bill Clinton, so like you covered it all and didn't skip a beat. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I loved it too. I jotted down a couple of lines that really spoke to me when you were talking about how they're scared of that glow, the tag on white supremacy, paranoia spoke, like all of those ideas and those concepts are things that resonate with me. And when you said equality crossed, you didn't say it exactly like this, but something to the effect of how equality crossed flow because of racism. I'm like, you really captured a lot of country or what our experience is. I love the transition to when you were talking about your wife, you described her as a canvas, an echo. But the one that got me, and I couldn't get it verbatim, something about you would trust your penis in the mouth of cannibals before evangelicals. I was like, oh, my God. Yes.
You bet, that's real shit. That's real shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, so ladies and gentlemen, callers and listeners, that is just the beginning of the show. If you are listening online by any chance that you want to call in and you just want to be just a dope part of this open mic that's about to happen, pick up the phone, dial 646-378-0355, press 1. We got just me in the building. We got Queen Penn in the building. And we also got myself, Aziz, I'm an allergist in the building. It is about to go down. Are you ladies ready for the callers?
Absolutely.
I'm ready.
Okay. Let's get it started. So we got first up. Listen, man. This dude has stolen my heart as far as poetry. I didn't even know this guy. I just used to listen like, man, who is this dude? I just love his pen. He's just from the old school, man. And I'm just going to bring him in. I'm going to stop talking about it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have on the line Joe, the Verbal. I ain't Dan. I just call him Verbal. Short.
Yeah.
Verbal,
what's up? Aziz, come on now. What's up, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Please say hello to the ladies. We have just me.
Oh, absolutely. Just me, you know, just me, Melissa, me, we go way back, baby. You know how we do.
Absolutely.
Queen Penn, that piece of fire, love. That piece of fire. I love that.
Thank you so much.
Much love.
Pleasure to meet you.
Man. Listen, it's been a minute since I heard your pen, but I love it every time I hear it. Listen, y'all are in for a treat because this brother brings it hard. So I'm going to step aside, and I'm going to let the ladies ask you the question of the evening. And, brother, go.
So, Joe, the question is, as I'm sure you know, are you ready to make that mic drip?
Oh, I'm definitely going to make the mic drip.
We're ready when you are.
All right, so here we go.
The distortion of abortion. A portion of abortion was to get rid of black seed. Just because the dress is red satin, it don't mean it comes off easily. Love taken because the moral men think a red dress means free. There was a time when history wasn't distorted. Plantation wives would sneak in cohort with. Plantation owners often fought with trying to hide broken pride. By his wife, now his legacy's died. Veterinarians were never qualified. Someone knew a guy who knows a guy. Bloodstained mattresses in the alley lie a fetus. Broken wounds could no longer repeat this savagery. Barbaric minds. Is there a doctor in the house? While he doctors on your spouse. Meanwhile, back in the fields, a young girl squeals, taking in hopes of making more help in the fields. The distortion of abortion is more than a convenience. One reason to oppose and make it meaningless. Selfish lovers who can't stand rubbers pay off the doctors with colorful scrubs on. I don't hear anyone asking her what she wants. off the plantation, headed to Pimpville. Humphrey 11 once used as a kill pill. Fuck moral obligations, it's all about the thrill. Still, there's some misconception about contraceptive. Abortion is not a preventative nor a remedy. It's just a convenient method to let go of responsibility. Not what it's meant to be. In cases of incest and rape or some authoritarian idea of a way to escape, some still feel as wrongful blacks and whites today. Family feuds that lay to rest Romeo and Juliet, Montagues and Capulets, coercion from the top, I bet. Did anybody ask her about the impending disaster? A miscarriage is disparaging, but some of this is true. I remember women having them and their marriages fell through. But of course, with abortion, couples talk that out too. It's for them to decide, not me or you. The distortion of abortion and women's rights, Roe versus Wade ending political fights, one night stands on a Friday night, one missed period, he's long gone on his flight. Daddy says he knows he's not the father. That's some confrontational shit, so why even bother? And Father God, Lord knows that I'm guilty. We were not ready for a child, but ready for thrills. See, this is why a lot of people are against it. Aborting lives, and we will fuck in an instant. Of course, not all, but definitely some. The thing that's upsetting is the more than one. It's those more than five that catches the eye. Set a limit, but don't limit as circumstances arise. Am I for it? It depends, but it won't depend on me. If I knew the why, it don't depend on me. If I was the why, and trusting our discussion, some women lie, and trust me, that's disgusting. Getting home on leave, baby, I got to tell you something. Brothers overseas, mothers overseas, the mere discussion of the subject have the courtrooms under siege. Flat-out opinions created lawless decisions. Hence the division of Roe versus Wade. Already decided, but I guess it is why some folks didn't see it that way. The distortion of abortion for groupies and rock stars. Some laws apply just for the who you are stars. Abortion scars still plague the minds of many. The fight was hard, but soon there won't be any. How many were roofied and woke up pregnant? How many were conceived with the leader of a regiment? It's so cold to be told your unborn has issues. Years of bad living and unhealthy miscues. The distortion of abortion, some claim they had one. Extortion of a man who never even got none. Non-existent, nonetheless. Is abortion just the relief of stress? Abstinence is the most reliable form of contraceptive. Some folks still believe that a punal is effective. Brothers trip on just the tip. Some educated women still fall for that shit. Abortion levels rise. Vasectomies, hysterectomies are performed just on the fly. I can understand the problems of man, but exactly who am I? Her choice, her body, her reason, though shoddy. Who can truly decide why abortion is a crime? The distortion of abortion. I mean facts, not lies. That's that drip. Thank you.
Now, Joe, you already know that. I love me some you. I love when you speak up on topics that a lot of people are afraid to speak on. And you have a flow and a voice unlike any other. And it's really, really good to hear you again. Thank you for sharing that piece with us.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed. Agreed, man.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. I just wanted to say that I agree with just me, like the delivery. It was all in delivery. It was heavy. it was definitely, you hit on one of the most controversial topics, and I think you did a great job of you know, kind of talking about the whole scope of the spectrum of the complexity of the issue. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Thank you, Queen Pen. It is complex for sure.
Absolutely. Man, listen. I mean, right now, Roe v. Wade is under attack, and I never thought I'd live to see this day. And then the way that Jesus brought it to life, I'm with the ladies, the delivery is just a match. I mean, there'll never be, I've never heard a delivery like yours before. I'm pretty sure I'll get one afterwards. And so I just love the delivery because it drives your point home that much more. So, man, I just applaud you for that. I definitely applaud you for that.
Oh, I appreciate that, brother. Thank you, man.
Absolutely. Before we let you go, I do want to bring in Agrippa Mike, my lovely wife. Subliminal wanted to come in, and I think she wanted to comment on your piece as well. Subliminal, are you in the building?
Good evening, everyone.
Hello. How are you, sister?
I'm doing good. It's good to hear you, just me and Queen Pen. Oh, my God. You are just blazing tonight.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us.
Oh, no, thank y'all for even coming. We are humbled. And Joe, as always, you are always coming through and putting things on people's minds, making people think about certain things. Just bringing it out into the forefront.
Thank you, Subliminal. I appreciate that, Queen. Thank you.
Not a problem. I'm going to step in here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
While we got all y'all in here, I've been working on this piece, so I'm going to go ahead and skip this piece, but I'm going to have one of the ladies ask me that question, if you guys don't mind.
I will ask Subliminal. All right. Are you ready to make the mic drip?
But of course. Our kind people pledge allegiance to the United States of America, which stands one nation under God with invisible liberty and malicious flag justice for the other republic. All lives matter. You see, that's a double conscious. It's a double conscious talk dominating specific nations, authority over non-melanated kind. You think you correct. In fact, you disrespect. Your slippery tongue pressed and pressed and pressed and pressed. You see, being black is a whole life fight in a non-liberated society. It's like a third conscious state of world determination. It's just another filthy knee weighed against innocent necks. Mask off. See, you need to take your mask off and remove the eye shackles blocking discriminating views. Damn, you're so blind in your rose-colored glasses, you can't see. It's just one more knee on melanated Americans. Can you please let us breathe? Let us breathe before you scream to this great state nation. Respectfully, we need unity, not your tantalizing power to be the people's fancy. This world's truth is just an enemy. You see, you're chanting all lives matter while we and our ancestors have proclaimed year after year, no justice, no peace. You see, this is the melanated American proclamation, yet you press and you press just how much you're better than we. We see the warning labels, these warning labels that are taught, these side effects your parents instilled in you. You see, we pledge allegiance to our kind of people, indivisible. Dominance for which it stands, dominance to control melanated humanity, which has always been our nation's disgusting infestation. Damn, can't you see? It's just one more thing, one more knee. Your kind of people press and press instead of pledging allegiance to the United States of America, which stands one nation under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all. This truly atones a balanced liberation for humanitarian constitution. Until we all change our priorities, what liberty under God can this world really be? Yeah, that's right, reality. That's why we press and press till this world stands for every shade of humanity's justified prosperity, a testament to individuality, caring for all lives, and we shall say, injustice for all. And that's that drip.
Indeed it is. That is, yeah, I love that. That's a deep piece. That's a very deep piece.
Indeed.
Thank you.
And you know what it
was
is?
A break.
It's a great piece, but it's I think it's even greater because your voice is deceiving, and not in a bad way, but your voice comes off like very soft, like, you know, very, very calm, and then you come spitting all this truth. And it's like, oh, wait, I really got, let me pay real serious attention because this sister got something to say. So I really, really love that.
Thank you.
I love the breakdown of the anthem. I love to break it down and kind of, you know, reverse the meaning, which really wasn't a reverse of the meaning. So that's what it was for me. That's what gets me about that piece.
I love that. Now,
yeah,
sister, you heard a lot of conscious pieces?
No.
Okay, good. You
oh, no,
should.
She's a nasty ass.
Keep going.
No, she's a nasty ass.
You should.
Oh, wow.
You definitely should because you have a insight and a delivery that's welcome. So I think you should do more of that.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Absolutely.
This is one of those genres that I ran away from.
Mm-hmm. See, that's erotic for me. So I feel you on that. But sometimes we got to run towards what we normally run from because it's meant for us to head in that direction. I think it's meant for you to head in that direction.
Mm. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we're doing here. Mike, y'all, this is how we doing it. This is definitely how we doing it. And again, you guys, you just heard from Subliminal, the first lady of Drift to Mike. You know, and that was a very, very captivating piece.
Yeah.
My brother Verbal Man, thank you for coming by, dropping that on us, man. You know, as you know the love, you feel the love, you hear the love here. So I know it's just not here with just the mic. I see that it's a cross platform with my brother. So, man, we definitely thank you. Thank you so much for bringing that piece by.
Oh, man, y'all, yeah, I was happy to be here, man. I'm glad y'all doing the thing, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
That piece, man. Yeah, you know, the thing stuck in my head the whole time, you know, that knee on the neck. That's for real, for real. That knee is still on that neck.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to send you on down to the concierge, man. Get your room key, man, and kick back, man, and listen to the rest of this dope show, my brother.
Well, absolutely. I ain't going nowhere, bro. Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it. You love
me, absolutely. Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Keith Verbal, as you know him as Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer. Ladies and gentlemen, so we ain't gonna stop this thing. Matter of fact, there's a storm coming, y'all. There's a storm coming. There's a freestyle storm coming. So, man, I'm not gonna keep y'all waiting, man. Without further ado, we bring it to the mic, Miss Gina Storm.
It's me. I've got to do the storm.
Lady KRS-One is in the building.
Hello, Aziz. Hello, and welcome to your features as well. I am just happy and thrilled to be here.
Absolutely. Well, it's definitely a pleasure to have you here. Definitely. Definitely. How are you?
Y'all had a show, I promise and swear. When I found out, I was like, oh, let me get in queue and raise my hand. And I remember to unmute myself.
That's, and you know what? I think that's what's throwing me off, because I only had to say it once. You know, normally, you know, if anybody knows that any show that Gina is on, she doesn't unmute herself. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, so I think that's what threw me off right there.
I just start talking and don't even realize I'm still muted. It's a whole vibe. I'm there.
I'm blessed because I'm joined by Queen Penn and just me tonight. So
Queen Penn and just me have been in the poetry community probably a little longer than me. And the only reason I know that I'm a poet is due to Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer. He was reading my notes on Facebook, and he was like, "Oh, I love your poetry." And I was like, "No, that was just my thoughts." And he said, "And they're poetic." And when a poet tells you you're a poet, you have to recognize it.
Wow, no, that's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story. I love when we encourage each other. Yeah, I love that.
I had no idea that I was even a poet. I just thought that I was a person that was going through some stuff, and I was writing it out. And now I say that I'm the poetess who writes her wrongs. And I want to thank Joe for making sure that I realized and recognized what it was that was my gift. Sometimes you don't even know your purpose until somebody else sees it in you. So I am so grateful. And I want to thank Aziz and Subliminal for Drip the Mic Network, because if it wasn't for them, I hosted the presidential suite with King's Cadence, may he rest in peace, before he passed away. And this is home for me, so I'm not visiting. I just came home.
Right, absolutely.
And I just wanted to say, like, real talk, sis, I think for most of us, this poetry journey started with us going through something and writing our thoughts. You know what I'm saying? That's how it starts for so many of us.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Say
true
that.
Story.
Say
true
that.
Story.
Yeah.
You know, people always say that poets and comedians are very similar, because they don't have good jokes unless they've been through something. And we don't have good poems unless we've been through something. And that makes us so similar that we are one and the same. And I recognize that. So it's the poets, the griots, the comedians, and all of the people in the artist community that make this a possibility. So I just salute y'all, and I'm so glad to be here tonight.
That's what makes us and comedians. Like art, that's what makes sets us apart from like people who are actually like songwriters and, you know, people who do that, because we have an authenticity that we are responsible to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And because we know how to write from our authentic experiences, and even when we write pieces that are not even our experience, it's because we can relate to a specific experience because of what
Absolutely.
We have been.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that thing that a good comedian does as well, because a good comedian makes me laugh because I can relate to what it is that they're
Sometimes
saying.
You have to laugh at your pain. Absolutely.
Right. And a good example of that is what Just Me did to open the show, right? Even though I'm not a woman, I know that women can relate to that because I have sisters, because I have, you know, because I hear women talk. Because I read and shit like that. I know that women can relate to that. You know what I mean? So I've heard that from a woman, and not quite as captivating as that, but I've heard those same thoughts from a woman. And she just put it in a way where it's so relatable across the board. And I think that's a responsibility that we have to authenticity as poets, is that we have to be true to, because like people ask me what inspires me, right? I got asked that, I think, yesterday on the show, what inspires me? It's just my life is a poem. My life is just an ongoing poem. Everything that I go through in life, in business, in personal, in play, whatever I'm doing, there's poetry in it. That's what inspires me. And that's what makes me a poet, because I can write how I'm feeling and what actually inspires me, which is my life lived on a poetic basis.
Yeah. And, you know, Aziz, I think that that's also one of the things that is so great about BPC is that we have a space and a place for the Black experience. we want poets of color to be able to come together and write about the things that we relate to that others may not relate to or may not appreciate or may not understand. But in our space, we can come together and do that.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
It gives them empathy. Even if they don't have sympathy, they still can relate to what we're saying because they hear the words that we're speaking. We are the griots. We're the voice of our community, and it's a necessity, not an option.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Man, so, I mean, I definitely love the way you said that. So we know that you're about to come here and blow this shit up, so we're not gonna wait another second.
No pressure, look, no pressure.
right. Exactly.
So I'm gonna do something that I have never done. So y'all ask me the question, and I'm ready.
All right, definitely. And that question is, Gina Storm, Lady KRS-One, can you make this mic?
By all means. So I'm gonna do something that I have probably never done in the history of Grip the Mic. I'm going to read a piece that I wrote on June 7th, 2015. This is not a freestyle. And I'm going to read it to you verbatim.
Wow. Well, you have done that one other time before, like a year or two ago. One other time before.
Yeah, I'm not about that life.
yeah.
But I need to remind people that I am also a poet. I'm not just a freestyle spoken word artist. So I'm coming to make the mic drip with the piece that I wrote.
Oh, wow. Well, hey, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. The mic is all yours.
All right. I titled this piece, This Feeling, and my motivation was a picture of me on stage where I was performing while I was married to my second ex-husband. I know it sounds crazy, but he's still my friend, and he's a talented musician. He was the guitarist, and I had a live band while I was doing an open mic that I was the host, the MC, as well as the spoken word artist for. And I titled this piece, This Feeling. I've always been positive, uplifting and loving, strong and filled with energy. I care for my friends and my wonderful family. I'm passionate and sensitive, enjoying every day that I live, and I'm thankful for the strength, the endurance, and the patience. I'm blessed with poetry that flows from the depths of me. Coming freely from my heart. God gave me this, and spoken word is my gift and my art. I love this feeling, and I'm grateful for the individuality, using each poem that I spit for the good, on and off the stage. No anger, no rage. I am love personified, not trying to hide. This feeling that I have when I'm on a mic, it makes me tingle, reminds me of kisses that give you butterflies. My demeanor and name or sometimes an oxymoron surprise. I'm Gina Storm, but I'm not destructive. I'm nurturing and cleansing. Love is how I'm breathing. It's all that I'm seeing, what I'm giving and receiving or being. And I just simply love this feeling. I came on tonight on Drip the Mic so that I could drip for you, so that you could understand that I'm Gina Storm. And through this poetry game, I am true. In peace.
I love how you described poetry. I can relate to that so much because poetry is powerful. Poetry is healing. Mm-hmm. And I immediately got that from your verse.
And it makes me want to hear more of stuff that you've written, Gina. Like your freestyles are always mind-blowing, right? Like mind-blowing. I still don't know how you do it. That's all I'm going to say about that. But the written piece.
I think you're
awesome. Yeah. I envy it. I'm not going to lie. Like, the way your mind works, fly.
Don't envy it. You know, let me explain it to you, sis. What you fail to realize is, you know what happens when you pick up your pen and you start writing a piece? It comes straight to your mind from your heart and your soul, and it goes to paper, or you type it out. So you're writing a freestyle. You just
I hear you.
You understand what I'm saying? We all have that ability. We just don't trust the process. And I just simply say, freestyling is poetry with no net.
You tried it. You tried it. It ain't the same.
No, trust the process. I'm telling y'all. It's a real thing.
But Gina, there is a gift.
We tried. I have tried. Like, even when I used to, like, in my teenage years, when I used to want to be a rapper. I mean, I used to freestyle, beating on the table and all that shit or whatever, you know. But I still, you still have a gift that stands out. It's not going to be as sharp.
But every now and then I have to remind myself that I'm still a poet.
You know what I mean, Melissa?
So
you know what I mean by that?
Being Lady KRS-One means the world to me. And Aziz understands that my love of hip-hop and his love of hip-hop are in synchronized. So I love y'all. Thank you.
It's just that ability you have to do it.
Even when you just read that piece that you read, you still did it with that passion. So it's a certain passion that you exhibit when you do a freestyle or when you spit your piece that I compare to KRS-One. And that's why, you know, like when I hear you, especially when I freestyle, I don't think there's nobody that can fuck with KRS-One freestyle. LL will always be my favorite rapper of all time, but I just, when it comes to freestyle, I just don't think nobody's seen as KRS-One. So that's what it reminds me of, because you do it flawlessly. So when you say that we do it, you don't understand that we edit. When I write a piece, I rewrite it. I go back and say, you know what, I don't like, because, you know, I like to wordplay. So I'll say, hey, I don't really like that there. I could do so much better right here. Let me find something else to put here. You know, when you're doing a freestyle, you don't have that time. You know what I mean? So it's a huge difference.
Indeed. Understood and recognized. And I appreciate y'all for that. I feel so humble and blessed to be in a position where I have so much poetry in my archive that no one's ever heard me speak aloud, that it gives me options. So I was just utilizing my options.
Nice. Well, we definitely thank you for coming through. Hang out with us. Go down there and get your tea. You know where you get the mic, so you know what it is.
Oh, absolutely.
Go on, hang out. Listen to the rest. Dope show that we got coming up.
I appreciate y'all. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Ladies and gentlemen, there was Gina Storm in the building. I call her Lady KRS-One, and you heard the reasons why. Listen, you guys are listening to Drift the Mic. This is the Black Poetry Cafe, the party, the return of the Black Poetry Cafe party. If you want to be a party and you want to call in and drop a dope piece with us, or just talk to myself, Queen Penn, or just me, pick up the phone and dial that number, 646-378-0355. Ladies, I'm kind of ready for another round of cipher. Y'all got another piece?
Indeed. I'll let Queen go first.
Yes. That was just, hey, Melissa, I was just getting ready to say the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So, Queen Pan, are you on deck?
I'm on deck.
I bet. Okay, bet. So, Queen Pan, let's see you go ahead and make this mic drip.
All right. So, I want to share this piece. It was inspired by Alicia Keys' memoir called More Myself. And so I titled the piece, More Myself.
Okay.
These words by Alicia Keys caress my soul like a summer breeze. These words by Alicia Keys caress my soul like a summer breeze. Now I'm finally coming to a place of ease in my skin. It was along the walking trails with earbuds in my ears that I heard my fears as Alicia shared her story. She talked of shrinking, people pleasing, and it was all so familiar, being everything for everybody, putting on masks, mashing down the real you until there's only a grain and it's full of pain. Losing your soul to gain the world, yeah, the world will swallow you whole and steal your light if you don't fight to shine. Alicia's words resurrected me, her breakthrough infected me, her triumph makes me hungry for authenticity, to be more myself, and put middle fingers up to whomever don't like it. I'm my own type, and I wasn't born to fit in a mold.
I was born to behold my own beauty and divinity. Me, myself, and I is the Holy Trinity that divinely guides me on my journey of self-discovery, and I am uncovering wondrous things about myself. I am shedding the expectations of others. I am stripping myself of pretense. I am throwing off shame and guilt. I am embracing myself with love. And that's the drip.
Oh, wow.
That makes me want to go read it, because I haven't. And that makes me, because if it can leave that impression, it makes me want to go read it.
It's an awesome book.
Exactly.
I promise you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
it does make you want to do that big time. Damn.
I hope she, have you posted that in a place where she may come across it?
I haven't. I don't even know where it might be.
I think so.
What about Instagram?
So.
You know, I did read it, I think, on a reel on Facebook. But let me figure that out.
Yeah, you know they do reels on Instagram. They do reels on Instagram, sis.
Because if I think if she, yes. I think she's the type of person that if she saw that, like,
mm-hmm.
I think you'll get a big time response. You know what I mean? I'm in agreement. I really think you should post that or put it somewhere where she can see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Instagram,
well, I would definitely do that.
Yeah, Instagram
I
or TikTok.
I would do that because she. Okay,
I've
seen her on both, but she is inspirational to me. That book was inspirational to me. It resonated with me on so many different levels. I mean, I saw myself throughout the whole entire book. You know, it was basically about not dimming your light, living your life for yourself and not for other people. You know, it's awesome. So if my poem inspired you to read her book, I highly recommend it. Sure.
Wow, yes. So next up, we got just me in the building. I'm really anxious to see what you're going to come with for the second round.
Absolutely. You guys have me in my conscious place. You guys have me wanting to come with that, so I'm ready.
All right. Well, just me. Can you make this my drip?
Indeed, I can. This piece is titled Black Lives Matter. I try not to get discouraged, but that's easier said than done. Watching my people slain one by one weighs heavy on an already overburdened heart. Don't know whether to cry, pray, or just tear shit apart. I'm tired of losing this fight. Tired of the victims being black and the officers being white, yet folks keep saying it ain't about race, swearing that although they look right into my pretty brown face, they don't see color. All that matters is what's within. It's funny, though, how it's only those with brown skin who keep dying. It's obvious that somebody is lying, and it's not hard to figure out who. It's those overzealous, trigger-happy, power-hungry, wannabe God, arrogant-ass bastards in blue. And of course, there are good cops, but they are far too few in number, or they're silent. Complicit in the violence, they're hidden behind that blue wall, too. We need them to speak up, but not enough of them do. It feels like we're in this alone. Folks are far more concerned with losing businesses and homes than the loss of the lives of countless black women and men. It's like we have to fight for our civil rights all over again. You know, the right to walk down the street while keeping our hands from getting cold, the right to be spoken to respectfully instead of being told what to do like we're some police officer's kid. The right not to be killed for doing less shit than some white criminal did. See, the white guys, they get taken to jail, while the black guys, they get handed the nail for their very own coffin. And it's happening way too often to just be a coincidence. And innocence makes no difference because they don't even stop to assess before they shoot. And instead of even trying to refute, America, good old America, makes them heroes. And it just goes to show that they don't care about what happens to us. In their eyes, every time a cop kills, it's just. even before the dust settles down. He must have been guilty because, well, his skin was brown, and the cop, he just had no other choice. Even when "I can't breathe" is heard multiple times in the victim's labored voice, and there is distress on his face. So tell me again how this ain't about race. Tell me again how you don't see color, and then I dare you to say it to George's mother. I dare you to say it to Trayvon Martin's older brother, to the countless fathers, cousins, sisters, lovers who had to interrupt their future plans to bury yet another unarmed black man. You can't convince me they're not trying to eradicate us from this land that we single-handedly built. They don't even have the decency to feel guilt, boldly say they'd do it again at any hour, anxious to get back out and abuse their power and exercise that lovely white privilege. But this time, America, something different. See, Black America and the world, we're tired of pretending. We actually do see color still. We see dead black skin and red blood spilled, and we refuse to be silent. If you have to, if you make us, damn right we'll riot. We aren't the ones who started the violence. We're just fighting back, removing the weight of oppression from our whip-scarred backs. We listen closely to the rising chatter. The chants of "I can't breathe" and "Black Lives Matter." Hear the sound of your facade as it shatters. Because fuck what you thought. Black lives always have and always will matter. And that's that piece.
And motherfucking matter. Wow. I'm going to tell you how powerful that piece was. Like, it sent chills. Like I still got some chills from that piece. I'm trying my damnedest to talk about it. I want to squeeze one erotic piece in, but that won't let me. Right? That piece that you said, listen, like I'm sitting here clenching my fist and gritting my teeth. Like, that's right, motherfucker. Like everything you said, I felt it so hard. Like, that piece was powerful. And I just love the purpose that you said it with as well.
Thank you. That's one of those poems that you cry as you write, and then you cry as you read, and then you cry as you perform. Like, yeah, that's one of the ones that gets me every single time. So, because it's not changing.
Yeah, it was a punch to my soul. Like, I felt it so deeply in your voice and the way you delivered it. And something that really hit me was how you were talking about Dulcie Color. But we still see color. That's a major issue, and it's something that I'm studying right now, as far as this colorblind theory and how they feel like somehow if we just say there's no race, then it doesn't exist. No,
right.
That's not how that works. That's not how that works
at all.
Yeah,
at all.
I think that was the best portion of the poem. Well, I wouldn't say the best, but the most captivating, when you say yes, we do see color. We see black bodies and red blood, like how I may be paraphrasing, but when you said it just squoze me like that. That I think that was one of the most captivating parts of the piece right there. I love that poem. I loved it.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Okay, a piece I'm going to finish out the cycle with is called Silence of the Power Source. I was trying to go erotic. I was trying to squeeze me in erotic. Hopefully I'll be able to squeeze me in erotic for the show, but I had to switch it up. Peace is called Silence of the Power Source. Brothers, we need to wake up and wise up. Take up arms and let's size up these crackers that are the attackers of our black women. They are our voice, and we got to catch up because our sisters are being silenced and killed at alarming rates because the world can feel them coming. My sisters are on the rise. Matter of fact, they have arrived everywhere. So to my brother warriors, this is a summons. White America moves at lightning speed to impede this melanated breed, but we as the strengthened seed needs to step up, not step aside, to ensure a path, as you can bet damn sure one day a black woman will lead. It boils me to see on TV this orange motherfucker point at my sister and reporter April Ryan and say, have a seat, like she was beneath. I grit my teeth and think how we black men need to be like killer bees protecting the queen. Our power source can't afford to have less than the strength of our best stepping up to protect, send a message like, don't fucking mess with our hornet's nest. Make no mistake, this is the silence of the power source. our daughter, Nia Wilson, murdered at the BART station in Oakland by a symptom of this evil force. So, of course, we need to be a force, because if we as black men don't enforce, we leave our queens alone, set out on a collision course. These are our issues. If your skin is black and you are a man, it ain't a question of can you. It's a statement of sitting where the fuck you can. This is the silencing of our power source. Don't tell me you don't understand. Try telling that shit to Sandra Bland. Black man, stand up, man up. This stand-up so-called president has made it evident through dog whistle banter that our precious black women are to be made look ignorant because of his inability to handle real questions when they raise their hand up. Makes me want to raise my hand up, shape of a black fist, and knock the shit out of the next race of ass lunatic that tries to attack my fist. We can no longer stand for this shit. They can't dismiss and silence our power source. Brothers, we need to state our case so that we shape the mindset of her to appreciate our place, replace any doubts, give her faith that you're the security. She is the base, provider of the egg, mother of the seed. A kingdom unstable is one without the queen. We diminish and demean our power source when we abuse and shame, ridicule, call B-names if we harm our queens. Others feel empowered to do the same. Today, racism has gotten brave, but we cannot let the power source be its prey. See, the stance we take must say to the other race that you're going to stay your ass out of our black queen's face. Respect is a requirement, and we require that they unhand our power source because their violence will not be decided. You see, while we hustle for that dollar and grind for that last dime, our beautiful black dimes are under siege, and it's been time that we draw a line to these spineless crimes. The America steps aside, so brothers, we need to step up and be that protection provider. Let's lift our queens higher and make this earth brighter from the fire of our power source. And that's my drip.
I love that.
Look here. Look here, brother, okay, look. So in a time where so many black women feel unprotected, in a time where the Kevin Samuels of the world are able to speak about black women and we see so many black men agree with and support that foolishness, a piece like that is so powerful and so welcomed and so beautiful. Like, I just want to say thank you for it. Real talk, like, from my heart. Thank you for not just the piece, but for the sentiment that caused you to write the piece. Because that's the message that brothers need to be receiving, not the foolishness that they're flocking to. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's necessary. That's absolutely necessary.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I agree with just me. That piece was heartfelt. As I was listening, it really reminded me of this time where I was protesting. I can't remember exactly which protest it was for, but it was for a woman. And the speakers there talked about how we're under-supported. Like, when things happen with our black men, it's a huge rally, it's a huge outcry, but it's not the same for women. And I bore witness to it. Like, it was not a overwhelming turnout. And so just to hear that piece and to hear the love and to hear, you know, the rally for support and to hold us down, it really touched me.
It's, you know, it's really, and I thank you for that. It's really deep that you say what you said, because the thing about it is, I think there's a Sandra Bland, there is a, there's an April Ryan. She's a reporter. She was a reporter for CNN. Nia Wilson. These are all women that I named in my piece. Nia Wilson, if you don't know who she is, I'm from Oakland. I'm from the Bay Area. So if y'all look up Nia Wilson's name. She was, her and her sister, Nia Wilson was like 16, 17. Her and her sister was at the BART station. If you've never been to the Bay Area, the BART is a transit system, kind of like the subway in New York. But, you know, it's a little cleaner, but, you know, it's kind of like that, you know. And this guy, just white supremacist, just pulled out a knife and just, like, slit her throat, like,
right
there on the BART
station.
I remember that. I don't think those things happen if this piece that I just wrote wasn't necessary. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
With April Ryan, one thing that, you know, I'm not the most intelligent brother in the world, but I'm really into, like, I really follow my politics, and I follow the governing branches to see what's going on. I really do. I'm big on that. at some of the press conferences I used to listen to. April Ryan, she's like a black reporter, and every time she tried to ask Donald Trump a question or ask one of those people a question, they would like berate her, like sit down, and you don't know what you're talking about. And those things don't happen if they don't. If this peace wasn't necessary. What I mean by that
That's
is
right.
we have to step up. So it's on us. It's on us as black men to step up and show that no, these sisters ain't out here by themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
they, you know, they got
yeah.
like don't fuck with them. Don't like we have to have like zero tolerance. We have to have, I mean, like, if you could go lower than zero, we have to have that level of tolerance.
Yep, I couldn't agree more.
Our black women, and we're not showing it in force enough. We're not, you know, they need to know that the rap songs is just that. Those are rap songs to sell records. You know what I'm saying? They need to know that, you know, we ain't looking at our women as bitches and strippers and hoes. And,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They need to know that. Yes, don't get me wrong. I'm a big hip-hop head. I love it all. I fucking love it all. Don't get me wrong. But I can decipher the difference. I know when I'm being entertained, and I know when I'm addressing a black woman. And the rest of the world needs to know that. And I'm tired of seeing these videos and these clips where they putting their hands and when they see black women by themselves, whether it's at a damn grocery store, whether it's at the bank, whether it's at a full parking spot, no matter what the fuck going on, these white men, these bitch-ass niggas, these white men out here, they see a black woman alone and they feel brave enough to put their fucking hands on them, and the shit fucking burns me to my fucking core. You know what I mean? So all of that just kind of went, all those examples just kind of went into writing that piece.
So I have a question, right?
Yeah.
I know you guys do, you know, the Drip the Mic. I know that's the erotic show. But
the
knowledge that y'all have displayed tonight, the conscious stand, do y'all have a conscious show? And if not, why not?
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, if you don't, if the answer is no, then why not?
Okay. So that's a very, very good question. So Drip the Mic. So Drip the Mic is a network, right? Drip the Mic isn't necessarily a big misconception is Drip the Mic is about that phrase is specific to eroticism. It actually isn't. That phrase means that, like, for example, what Joe the Verbal Mind Dancer just did, he dripped the fucking mic. He blew the motherfucker up. He made it metal.
Right.
Drip the Mic is a concept that what you say is so captivating, it's so hot, that by the time you're done, the mic is dripping because it's melting.
Gotcha.
Right. So Drip the Mic only actually has one erotic show, and that's on Fridays, Erotic Friday. But
gotcha.
You know, So Drip the Mic. That's just a lot of people think that what we mean by Drip the Mic, or if it's a Drip the Mic show, that you're coming to an erotic poetry show. No, most of our shows are going to be open mic. If you end up spitting erotic, that's perfectly fine. Love it. But we don't have a show that's specifically targeted to conscious, but we have an open mic show where you may not hear not one erotic piece.
I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
I do think that you guys would be great hosts of a, I don't want to say political show, but of a conscious show. That would also involve discussion, because you, as you said, it's very clear in your pieces that you're very knowledgeable on these topics. And I don't know the market. I'll be honest, I haven't really been as active in poetry lately as I used to be in the past. Life kind of, you know, gets in the way of that sometimes. So I'm not really familiar with the shows and what's going on with the shows. So I don't know if there's a huge audience for it. All I can say is that I really, really enjoyed the pieces you spit tonight and the one that your wife spit. And it's very clear in listening to you that you have a passion and a great knowledge that I think could be shared and that people need.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And you know, that's something that I will definitely consider if we could just get one that's focused, like strictly on like the consciousness, social justice piece.
Right.
You know, that is something to definitely think about. And I would love to do that. I would love to do that. And it's funny that you say that, because see, here's the thing. Like beginning poetry, like I that's all I used to write was like conscious. I mean, that's all I would ever write. Like, I've never dreamed of writing an erotic piece, right? I never even like, I mean, I would either write or I would write something like maybe like if it, like the closest I would get would be a love piece, but it wouldn't necessarily be erotic, right?
Gotcha.
And I'm
going
to tell you,
I used to, at first,
you got to understand, and Mark knows this about me, when I first came to a Black Poetry Cafe, you know, I was just coming out of my criminal life. You know what I mean? I was just getting out of jail. I was just coming into, you know, I was just turning my life around during that time when I started writing on Black Poetry Cafe or posting on Black Poetry Cafe. And so the thing about it is when I first came to it, the only thing I would write was my conscience. That's all I would write was conscious pieces or pieces, you know, self-elevation pieces and things like that, right? Not until I got to the Black Poetry Cafe did I open up to erotic poetry, because the women on the Black Poetry Cafe used to fuck it up in the erotic section. You hear what I'm saying? I'm talking about, like, I would go in there, I'll be like, let me see what these people doing this erotic, right? And they're even on the radio. Like when I first started doing the radio, Black Poetry was the first, Black Poetry Cafe was the very first poetry show I did in 2006. Very, very first time. Before I even knew there was a radio show for poetry, the only one I knew of was the Black Poetry Cafe on Blog Talk.
Right.
That's all I knew. And so I wasn't even doing erotic. But then I started seeing how the ladies was doing it, and I'm a man. I had these thoughts or whatever, but I just never thought to play with the words and put them on the paper.
Right.
So I went into the Black Cafe, and I remember, like I said, I would log in, and you would hear the beginning of one mic. You see the microphone roll down the screen, right? You remember the microphone just roll down the screen, and you hear the beginning of the mic on one mic, doom, doom, right? And I'd be all hyped, and so I just go into the different rooms with different genres. And then I started going into the erotic room, and I just started, I'm like, damn. And don't get me wrong, the fellas was in there, too, but the women was fucking us up. The women was fucking us. As a matter of fact, I think Mark or somebody had put up a challenge, something. I think we had to challenge the women or something. I can't remember. It was so long ago. But I remember we got our asses. We ain't got the asses. But it opened up. We did. We got our asses handed to us. But it opened up, that erotic in me, and I just loved it, and so I started, you know what, erotic poetry. And that's what really got me on the erotic poetry so much. But
I'm used to your erotic pieces more than anything else. So tonight was a surprise for me, and your wife especially. And she said that was her first time writing that kind of piece. But that was really beautiful. So that thought came in my mind, and I thought I should share that I think that's something to at least consider for a future show, even if it's not a weekly thing, even if it's a one-time show or something like that. But I definitely think there's a place for that. Yeah, absolutely. You guys are great.
We would definitely open that up. We would definitely open that up. I like the way that sounds. But in my defense, my wife is the nasty one. She's the motivation behind all the nasty shit that comes out of this one. Point blank.
I tried to sit here and let you say all that. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. Nice try. No, sir. I did not start writing poetry until my husband pushed me into it. And the erotic side, because that's what he does, that's how I came out. And my mind is just as gross as his in some areas, but it's his fault.
Marriage made in heaven, I say.
Bullshit. But anyway.
I love it.
Boy, listen, like, you know, she is the architect of this nasty shit, so blame her.
Yeah.
Definitely blame her. I love consciousness because, you know, like, I, that's where I come from. That's what, yeah. You know, what sense and like uplifting pieces, you know what I mean? Because at first I was in a place when I was going back and forth to jail. I mean, I've been writing poetry since I was like knee high, like literally.
Right,
and it's just
right.
Like, you know, in the life, and I was going back and forth to jail. I was that's where I would find my comfort zone is my poetry, yep. Right? And so what was happening is I would find myself writing a lot of fuck the government, fuck the world. Fuck,
right.
I was doing a lot of pointing in my poetry, right?
Gotcha.
And then I set my ass down and I looked at myself, you know what I mean? And I was like, no, what are you contributing to this? Did you sell
right.
everybody?
That's deep. That's deep.
Did you have that pistol? Did these things happen? Did you literally do these things, or was it, or did some conspiracy just make this up about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's when my poetry began to change, and that's when it began to, and that's when it began to open up when I started to look at what I was contributing to the way I was living, right? And so then, like once I started to do that, then my mind started to become open-minded to all types of sounds. Now I have funny pieces, I have, you know, story pieces, you know,
yeah.
I have pieces, I have pieces that I perform live, specifically for performing live, and I have my erotic pieces, and it's just that, you know, let's be honest, I love eroticism, so yeah, I'm going to excel in it. If I had the opportunity to add my art to the genre of sex, then I'm going to body that shit.
I got you.
That's
yeah.
But we're gonna keep the show going. That's why I was trying to put it back to the Black Poetry Cafe. It's not about me, y'all. It's definitely about bringing this Black Poetry Cafe back. They back. We definitely here for you. And we just partying, y'all. We just, you know, having a show with open mic. And whatever you bring. If you got something you want to spit, pick up the phone. Dial that number. It's 646-378-0355. We got Queen 10 in the building. We got Just Me in the building. We got the Pulmonologist in the building. And every now and then, Subliminal is popping up, correcting me on my shit in the building. So, come on in. So, y'all, come on in and have some fun with us. We're going to keep the lines going. Next on the mic, we definitely have a treat for y'all. We have in the building, coming to the stage, we got Tila Shell in the building. How you doing, sis?
Hey, bro, how you doing?
I am
so
good.
Happy to
I am
hear
good.
Your voice.
Thank you so much. And it's a pleasure to hear yours, too. Definitely, definitely welcome to the show. And please say hello to my esteemed guest. We got Just Me.
Hello, sis. Hey, Just Me. Hey, Queen Pen. Hey, Subliminal.
Hey, how are you? Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the invite, Aziz. I wouldn't be here if you didn't hit me up. Thank you.
You're definitely welcome. Thank you for coming.
So, I know I got to do some work so I can get my key so I can get in the VIP session, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you definitely got to. You got a VIP spot. You got a VIP spot. It's going to cost you, though.
All right. I already know, I got some work to do.
That's right. I love the enthusiasm. That's right. So she know what it is. She know what it is. And with that being said,
I know the rules of the game. I know the rules.
I got
okay,
a question for you, sis.
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. I know you didn't just try that shit. I know good and damn well you weren't about to just try it.
Yes, bro. My apologies.
You was about to try it. You know we don't do that around
here. No. Gotcha.
Okay. So, sis, the question of the evening.
Yes.
Can you make this mic drip?
Yes, I can. But can you choose? I have one that I recently wrote, and I have one that was dedicated to my husband. So, which would you
I'm
prefer?
I'm going to let you I'm going to let the ladies pick.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. Repeat those choices again, sis.
Okay. One that I recently wrote, and then one that I dedicated to my husband, my late husband.
My heart is saying the dedication. Yeah, my heart is saying the dedication.
Okay.
Mine too.
All right. This one is called Forever High. When the late night creeps in, absent caresses make me cry, missing and longing for the exchange of dialogue and touches between you and I. You were the 12-year habit I thought I could break, but here I am, forced to gold, 7 years cold turkey off your drug, with concentrated delusions of being your forever everything, thinking these placebos would make it better. So I called Dr. Hamilton and I told him, I'm a mess right now. Can't sleep. Build a pile up high. Ain't worked in 3 weeks. Can't fake, can't shake. You got me involuntarily nocturnal. Got me scratching and itching, sweating and shaking, crying, begging, pleading, needing another hit. Hit of you. I need your passion pink pills. So I'll just run just as fast as I can to the middle of nowhere, to the middle of my frustrated feeling. I swear you're just like a pill. Instead of making me better, you keep making me ill. You keep making me ill. Sorry. In hallucinations, you are so close, yet so far beyond my reach. I'm over here scratching like a crack fiend, ducking and hiding from Nino Brown's shadows, but in my poopy voice, you keep calling me, man. You keep calling me. Who can forget injections of memories and songs shared and sung between us? The sweetest, most melodious, chocolate swaying, smooth suede stanzas. I'm found from time to time in trance, hanging back and forth to air, the void of sound, eyes closed, swaying as tears stream, burning past down my cheeks, and I can taste the salt on my lips. Or moments of intense suckling and intoxicating kisses. I get so drunk with the flashbacks of gripping at brick walls like they were pillows and bed sheets. But the nurse said I was scratching in the bed with my ass up, struggling to breathe, biting on my pillows, moaning alone. But I swear you were holding me close and gripping my throat and drilling down deep as you have in memories past. But these people think my cheese slipped off my cracker again. So they rush in, strap me down in my white jacket, sit me in my chair, give me an injection and escort me to another padded room. Can I hear you argue with me again without looking crazy, fussing about raised toilet sheets or budgets or bullshit, recalling you telling me to hush, walk up on me slow and pull my hair back and turn me around in front of the bathroom mirror and kiss my neck. And right then I closed my eyes to feel your breath on my ear. You left me there stunned. And I hear in the distance, girl, get over it. We're good. And I open my eyes to see a host of eyes staring back at me, looking at me like I'm crazy again. I dream I can be alone and sip my brandy and sing to you. But I guess I'm only broken hearted, life's not over. I can start again while I'm only broken hearted. It's a hurting thing to get over. But you left me. Man, you left me here with no time. No more consistency. So, yeah, if this pipe and this needle and this bottle gets me there, let me overdose. To be there where you are, let me OD for more time with you. In peace.
Yeah, I think. Okay.
Man.
The fact that you tied grief to addiction? Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Mm. Look, okay. And I'm sorry to just take the mic, y'all, but look. So I have endured a lot of loss in my life, right? And I've never lost a partner, but I've lost both parents, all my grandparents, niece, aunts, you know what I mean? Like all within my lifetime. So I always tell people that I'm living with grief. Like that's my life. I have never considered it to be similar to that of an addiction, the missing of it, the way we fiend for a drug, we fiend for that present. Girl! Okay. I can't even say no. And your singing is beautiful, like absolutely tied that piece together flawlessly.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Just me, you said it. You said it all, because that was the main thing that really had me, was the way she tied all that together, the grief, the love, the memories, the addiction, and, I have similar story, too, with a lot of loss. Right. I appreciate that piece.
Thank you so much.
Sis, you do not spit enough. I do not hear you spit enough. Your pen game is just crazy wicked, and you keep it under wraps. And I told you about that shit. But
I know.
That piece drew me so much into your heart, into your mind, into your thoughts, into your feelings, what it is that you're going through. I mean, it was really a gift the way you was able to draw me in. And then when you did the singing, you know, as a vocalist to a vocalist, what's funny?
It's subliminal. I know she back there having a fit.
Listen, I can sing. Listen, Queen Pen, it's just y'all can sing. Everybody lies.
No.
I can't sing.
No.
But anyway, as a vocalist to a vocalist. You know, I appreciate the pipe.
No.
You know, as a person who has to take care of his pipes, I know how hard it is to incorporate, you know, the beauty of your pipes into a piece like that. So I just thought the singing just drove it home. So it really did touch my heart. I'm going to fuck around and sing on y'all one day. Keep it up.
No,
I'm waiting for it.
Sis got my back. I know you got my back, Sis.
Yeah. I'm trying not to get in trouble with subliminal because I already know we already got one on lock. So.
No.
I won't.
Listen,
I hear you.
Just me and Queen Pen. I can sing. They just hating on me right now.
No, I feel you, brother. We're going to wait for you to just show and prove and shut them right on up.
Yeah, I mean, I got some El DeBarge up in there. I got some Luther up in there. You know, I could switch it up. You know, I throw some D'Angelo. You know, like I got some vibes on me. And they just hate on me.
Stop lying.
They just hate on me.
You got
some vibes.
Are you a shower
thing?
Is that what it is?
No, he got people
in
the
zero
line.
No, I'm not a shower. I should be like the Barclays Center, like somewhere, like I should be selling out arenas, like that type of thing. That's what I. But I've been held back.
If nothing else, brother, you got the confidence on lock.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to announce it. My wife is holding my singing career back. I think she's jealous of the reception. I think she's jealous of the reception that I would get, and
that
she don't want to share me my business gift with
the world. Right.
You know,
I get that. She's not ready for all that attention you're going to get.
You are partially right with that. I do not want the attention that he's going to get.
It's the type of attention, right, sir?
That right there.
Anyway.
That's okay, Fleet.
Anyway.
That's okay, Fleet.
Y'all are funny.
Keila Shell, that piece. That piece was definitely beautiful. And I didn't catch the name of that piece.
It's called Forever High.
I love that. Well, sis, I definitely thank you for that and dropping that jewel on us. You really touched me with that piece, definitely. I'm going to send you down to the concierge, get your room key, and you know how we do here at Drift Mike Hotel. Get checked in and kick back and listen to the rest of the dope show.
Thank you. I got my key.
Absolutely.
Have a good one, everybody.
Good night.
You too.
Good night.
Now, next coming up, we have one of the Black Poetry Cafe originals in the building. Ladies, we got Rob Poetry Morrow in the building.
Hello.
Rob.
Oh, sure.
Feel the vibe, Rob. Y'all. What's up?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
What's going on, y'all? Yeah, that's what it's all about. BPC is back in full effect. What's going on, y'all?
Buff Poetry Ooh. Man.
Yes, y'all know it. Mimi, just me.
Yeah, that's me. I'm right here. Rob, no, he's my heart. Rob, you my heart. You know that, right? I love it, Rob. Y'all. Y'all just got to know that.
Yeah, we got this little vibe going on and stuff. And 10 years later, you're still the most important poet I ever heard.
Oh, I love you.
I said
so
that
much.
In an
wow.
interview.
That's
big.
I said that in an interview a 50 minutes ago. So.
I love that so much. Thank you so much. And guys, I got to tell you, when BPC was doing live events, Rob came from California to South Carolina to be a part of BPC and became the, he brought his drum, his, what is it? Say the word, pronounce the word for me.
It's called the African djembe drum.
Djembe. I always get that wrong. But he brought his drum, and it was one of the most powerful experiences that I think any of us had ever had. We were actually on the beach at night with only the moon to light. Yes, while Rob played the drums, while Kaimalay summoned the ancestors. We were doing poetry. Oh my goodness, it was probably one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced in my life. And it wouldn't have been the same without those drums. That brother knows that.
And you know that, that was 5 years ago that day. And the funny thing about it, I progressed since that time. So what you heard from me that day, during those 3 days, I believe I'm much more improved and stuff. But
all the more
I'm
reason for
learning.
Me to convince. Yeah, I definitely got to convince Mark that we need another fest, man, for real.
Oh, I remember.
I have a feeling that he's definitely gonna make it happen. At least we're gonna make it happen. You know,
it was like some kind of a movie, man. I remember the power behind that. It was like, I remember that. So like that stays in my mind, and it's the fact that I remember it was like 2017, maybe 2018, somewhere in that area. Yeah, I remember that. So, and that's what really made me like, ooh, I got to be at the next one. Because it was just so powerful. I definitely remember that.
The thing that was so amazing about it was that it wasn't planned. The only thing we planned was to meet on the beach. That was the only thing we planned. Like, we didn't, it wasn't something anybody, you know, knew was going to happen, but it just did. And it was crazy because with Kaimalay calling toward the ancestors, like, the waves began to crash really hard. The moon went behind the clouds. It got pitch black. Like, it was just, it was powerful. So,
you know, I was going to say, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but.
No.
I think the highlight of that, one of the highlights of that moment when you was interacting with Kaimalay.
Yeah,
and
it was
you was boo-hooing. You was crying. I'm like, wow.
Yep, I was bawling like a baby. And it was it was one of those experiences where I didn't even know why I was crying. Like I didn't understand it until she started right. speaking to me, and in her words, as I was just telling everybody, you know, I've had a lot of grief, and
yeah.
basically, in a nutshell, her words were, the message I have for you is to let them go and be happy. And when I tell you, yeah. So I the reason I wanted to kind of bring that up was one, to give Rob his flowers for his role in that, and two, to just let people know that BPC is and has always been even bigger than just poetry. It is family, yes. really. Like we are family. We are love. We are Black pride. We are people coming together. We are all those things. And this go round, we want to be that and better. So we are being really selective on who we allow in the group. We don't want, like, we came from a group of over 30,000 people when we shut it down, to mm-hmm. now saying we don't care if we only have 30. We don't want 30,000 inactive members or drama-filled members. We want people who really love poetry, who really love each other and people and this art, and who want to see it move and write. So Rob is a fine example of exactly the kind of person that we want in the group this time, as is everybody here tonight. We thank you for giving us the chance to, you know, put that out there and tell the world.
I really do appreciate that because it's like, I think it recognized, and even as a poet, you know, you don't have to have a whole bunch of people mm-hmm. to have an impact. You can just have an impact. If you just deal with one person,
yeah.
you impact one person, you've definitely done your job. So
absolutely.
Thank you.
And that was the reason definitely for this show, is because I wanted people to get a sense of that. I wanted people to be excited. As share the excitement that I've had. I mean, like I said, I've experienced the BPC since back in 2006 on the Blog Talk Radio and on the Black Poetry Cafe website. Those feelings, that vibe that Melissa just described, is exactly the reason why I wanted to have this show, so that we can share that sentiment, so people can get that sentiment that what the Black Poetry Cafe was a sense of community, a sense of love, a sense of one goal, a sense of one target, and we're all working together. Even all the way down to the roots. I remember before you could even post a piece, you had to go acknowledge, you had to read at least three pieces and acknowledge.
Yep.
You know,
that
was, and you know, that was the part of the love that even some people may have looked at that as instructive. But I look at it as a way of spreading love, as you know, like as that agape love, that, you know what I mean, that pure, you know, we all love one thing, and we all headed to one target, and we can only get there together. And so before you even posted a piece, you had to go ahead and make sure that you commented on a piece and give them that push, mm-hmm. that drive, that, hey, I'm listening. Hey, I read mm-hmm. that, and I got what I said. And that's like, it's universal across all of the Black Poetry Cafe platforms, period.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I just want to add something. Can I add? I'm kind of a newbie, I think. I'm not sure if it was 2012, 2014, somewhere around there, I discovered BPC. And all the things that you said, each of you have said, is so true. And I attribute BPC to, like, a renewal and a revival for me. Like, I hadn't written poetry in a while, you know, uninspired, going through different things in my life. And BPC is so warm, and so they just embrace you, and it's nurturing. And just like you were talking about how, you know, there's a standard, you don't just post all your poetry, you're interacting with people, you're communicating, you're building relationships with people. I remember at BPC, that was the first time I collaborated with other poets, and I was so inspired and motivated by the challenges and the images and everything, and it truly, truly is a family. So I just want so much.
And I swear I want Rob on this mic, but she said something that I absolutely, if I don't speak on it, Mark is going to kill me. We are doing the challenges in this group, and when we say challenges, we don't just mean, you know, do a challenge. We're going to be picking winners and sending out these beautiful trophies that Mark gets engraved with your name on it. So we are really trying to, you know, foster creativity and get people motivated to write, because in the times we're in right now, it's hard for art to survive. Like, they come for art first, and so they're trying to cut programs and they're trying to diminish art's worth, and so we're really, really focused on trying to foster that. So I'm really, really glad she said that, because if I hadn't mentioned those trophies, I probably would have got hit over the head with one. So thank
you. It is a beautiful trophy too.
Yes, beautiful trophy.
You know, I think a couple of things that one thing that I realized is that I never believed that GOGS ever was going to shut down BBC. He just needed a break.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe that it was a sign for us to step up our game, you know, mm-hmm. making up, because he's been doing this for a minute.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that all the things that we want to do in terms of, especially when it comes to, you know, we want to have another poetry fest, which I hope that it will happen, we have to step it up and not always depend on him.
Yeah, very
to
true.
Make all the decision making stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's what I see out of it. And real quickly, you know, I remember that, you know, the year after in 2018 when he came back, there a couple of poets brought their drums along with them. So it's amazing that you think you're not having an impact, but you actually, it's quite the opposite. You do have an impact, and that's what's so important about the artistry, whether it's drumming, whether it's poetry, and I think they're all the same. You know, when you're drumming, you are speaking, you are being poetic, you know. So, and it's important that all of us recognize the importance of the art. And I definitely want to talk to you, because I do want to, because I'm looking to having, do want to do a podcast or a blog that specifically deals with every deal with discussing poetry, and not just an open mic or anything, or a feature or anything like that. We have these type of discussions that we're having right now about mm-hmm. every aspect of how important poetry is, and what are the things that you expect out of poetry. Is there a difference between poetry and spoken word? So yeah,
right.
I definitely want to get you connected with you guys to bring this out, to have the discussion. So,
absolutely.
I definitely like that. And again, and that's what this show is about. It's about giving Mark and the BBC its flowers. And I'm sorry, audience, Mark could not be here tonight. He has some work responsibilities. But we just want to send our love out to him. And I mean, I just thank him for his vision and everything he's done for us over the. I mean, for me, it's going to be go back all the way back to 2006. For others, mm-hmm. It depends. But I just this is about giving him his flowers, showing BPC the proper love that I've always had
yeah.
for it. But it definitely deserves. And we just want to see, we want to know where it's going, and what can we do, like Rob said, what can we do to contribute to that? What can we do to step our game up to where we're not just dependent on it to be one particular person who's the architect, who's not necessarily the architect, but the one who puts the whole thing together. Yes, he's the architect of the whole thing, but we should be right there with him, willing to step our game up and see where we can come in, to where we can help push some things forward, where we can help maybe contribute to the next festival, you know.
Is something, I'll be honest with you, that is something that Mark and I have discussed kind of extensively in the past. At one point when he first stopped, you know, decided he was going to stop, he was willing to let someone else pick up the mantle. But the problem we had with that was that those who, you know, we had some people offer, but the people that offered wanted to make such changes that it would no longer have been BPC.
it would have just been the same people, but with a different, you know, platform. And so we decided against that. You know, it's his BPC is his creation and his baby. And if we're not gonna follow that vision, then it should maybe have a different name. And nothing came of, you know, anyone wanting to do it with a different name. So I think that's kind of what also brought him back. We are discussing potentially, you know, I say this, he going to kill me, so I might as well just say it. Mark pays for stuff out of his pocket, like solely out of his own pocket. And it's expensive,
yeah.
You know, booking venues,
exactly.
Making sure that we've got DJs and, you know, all of that, which is why nobody gets paid to perform at Fest, because it's not, we don't make a profit from Fest in any way, shape, or form. So I am trying to convince him now to potentially do a GoFundMe or some way that people can contribute financially to take at least that burden off of him. That's what I say when I say I'm trying to convince him in all these different ways to get it done. But the more people say in the group and, you know, let it be known that they are interested in helping and they are interested in attending, I agree with Rob. I think we can sway him.
we're willing to step in, like Dressing Mike. We're willing to step in any way possible, because we definitely don't have a syndrome, the too many chiefs, not enough Indian syndrome. There's no egos or anything like that. We're definitely willing to contribute and help to promote in any kind of way. And as you see, that's what we've always been willing to do. I mean, and it's all there's no strings attached. It's just like straight up.
It's going to be a process.
The next step. You know what I'm saying? And so promoting the GoFundMe account, if it's promoting, program. We got to hit this mark by this particular date. We're willing to promote, step up, and make sure that we're promoting those dates, promoting amounts, promoting packages, doing anything it takes. And all of us as a collective, because all of these radio shows, if we're keeping it 100, all of these radio shows are a spinoff of the Black Poetry Cafe. Let's keep it 100. You know what I'm saying? So let's call it spade a spade. So if we all step up and contribute and have one focus and we all play our role as the Indians, then I think that we can be successful and getting one going and making it
continue. I agree. Well, I'm sure he's going to listen to this playback. I know Mark. He's going to listen to every minute of it, which is why I said he's going to kill me. So I'm sure he'll hear all of that. He will appreciate that. And I'll keep pushing. I promise y'all. I'll keep pushing, and I'll keep, you know, everybody up to date as best I can.
And this is the dialogue that we need. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but this is certainly the dialogue that we need to have to make this have this interaction, and not just with us, but other people who are down with the process. Because we just can't just have a couple of people do it. You know, it has to be everybody part
Absolutely.
Of it. Everybody needs a part of it. So
that's the perspective. You know, and I think you're right, this type of dialogue, you know what I'm saying, if we're going to set it up, then perhaps we have a monthly meeting amongst the principal of the committee, you know, so assign a committee, allow that committee to be made up of various people, and allow them people to be responsible for bringing a certain aspect to monthly meetings or something that we have, that we set up online, conference calls, or whatever the case may be. It can be done.
Absolutely.
Right.
It could be done.
So,
all right. So with that being said,
you want me to spit a piece?
Yes, please.
We most definitely do. I'm gonna let you go ahead and let the lady ask you the question. Let's get that piece up out of you, my brother.
All right. It's a good conversation. I appreciate it. So thank you guys, and thank you, Brother Goggins. Love you, brother. Hope we get a chance to connect with you.
Absolutely.
All right. Is there any possibility to love you righteously, which impede longevity in this golden opportunity? Can we reflect the utmost quality in the essence of beautiful black magic, drawn in non-erasable markers and sunbaked in the institutions of poetic observance? Can we get swept away in a spiritual sensual rejoice, a touch, a stroke, a hum, a cheer, and plenty of tears? Can we challenge the standard protocol of happily ever afters, not fitting lifestyles we manifest? Can we exalt any memories stopped and paused in figuring out our official duties in these corrupt timelines, while engaging in flesh and fantasy reboot, highlighted in diaries we burned after reading, so not to reveal the sensitive nature of me, squealing like a goddamn pig on my way to the slaughter, when you twerked it like Lizzo at the Laker game and making me come so hard I enjoyed every single moment of it? Is it more than enough to become official in these trying times? Continuous infighting between members of a nation among gender lines, despite enemy more dangerous and diabolical than any petty disagreement we stubbornly stand firm on? Is it too late to reconciliate the weekend of drunken indulgence, partly damaging infrastructure nearly collapsing into troubled waters, unleashing more and more unpayable debts to our shaky solidarity? Could this poem even cool the civil unrest and celebrations of a YouTube guru's death that left us complacent and confronting bullets, nightsticks, and flashlights beating down black skin 30 years later and we still can't get along? Can we clutch pearls to excel basic groove of you and I, freely, unconditionally conditioned to extract walls of internal battles? Is it all possible to cease demons we give command performances for excuse not to look beyond our own failures? Can we unlearn the algorithms tearing society apart with every tweet, foolishly manipulating to believing that black men are toxic and becoming more irrelevant in each passing day, but thank goodness you resist those lies? Are we prepared, I mean truly prepared, to focus our energy into knowing, forever knowing, the possibilities of life before, during, and after love? Is it all possible? And that's that piece.
Good Lord, yes, it was that piece. It's so good to hear you spit again. It's just so good. And that piece definitely makes you question, you know, it's fitting for what we were just talking about, the possibilities if we do the work. But it makes you think about not only if something's possible, but what life would be like if we could accomplish it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the line of algorithms for me. That algorithm line just took me out. I thought that was like a brilliant way of putting it, putting the point that she was making in that line. It just took me out. So that was just, I don't get to hear you spit. I think I've heard you spit a couple other times a long time ago, but that just reminded me of how brilliant your pen is, man. That was a really dope spit.
Thank you, brother.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have went deep into overtime. Well, we only went about 20 minutes into overtime, but that's okay. That's okay. It has been a dope show. We heard some dope poetry tonight. I heard some pens that I haven't heard in a while tonight. I heard pens that I had never heard tonight as well. In closing,
I just wanted to say real quickly that I'm back with Epiphany, and this coming Saturday I will be co-hosting with La Pearl La Negra, Poetic Therapy. Which will be on Saturday, and I'm also we'll be bringing back in hopefully in the fall Wednesday Night Vibe, or probably on a different day. So it'll be known as The Vibe with myself and Carrie Casey Poetically Speaking Kindly.
Very
so
awesome.
Look forward for that.
Give the people that phone number.
I'm sorry?
Give the people the phone number.
The phone number to Epiphany?
Yeah, to call in.
Oh, the call in. Well, for the Epiphany, It's 319-527-6300, and that's going to be on this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern, I believe. Now for the vibe, it might be a different number, but I'll keep you guys up to date.
Yeah, make sure you put that information in the group. We're all about, you know, promoting and supporting the art, so make sure you put that info in there.
Will do. It's good to talk to you guys. Appreciate
you
it.
You too.
You're absolutely fair.
All right. All right.
And again, so in closing, I wanted to do this show. I was telling my wife, I was so happy to see the return of the Black Poetry Cafe that I wanted to just do this show because, well, first of all, I wanted to give Mark his flowers. I wanted to give the Black Poetry Cafe its flowers. I wanted to let the whole team, the whole Black Poetry Cafe team know that you guys are loved. You've been missed. We have a whole lot of respect for you as an organization. We love what you guys do for us as poets. We love the challenges, and we love everything that you just bring to the poetry community. I'm not going to say that I wouldn't be where I'm at, but I'm going to say I wouldn't. A lot of my openness to poetry would not be here if it wasn't for the Black Poetry Cafe. I wasn't doing nothing with my life. I was like fucking up. I'm not going to go off into the story. We don't have time, but I was fucking up big time. When I came out of jail, I really looked to poetry to really like, you know, mellow me out and to, you know, bring me, to reel me in. And it did just that. And a part of that reason is because of the Black Poetry Cafe. Mark and I would have, we would message each other, have conversations. And it was just a love that I have for that brother that just, you know, just, he helped with the push. He helped push me and turn my life around, look at poetry and see what it could do. And so, and Mark knows how I feel about him. He knows the love I have for him. And again, so I just wanted to have this show to give the Black Poetry Cafe its flowers. And to, for those who might not know, or who don't know, or who may do know, just, I'm pretty sure there's others who share that sentiment with me as well. So I just wanted to have this show that so we can all come together and share the platform and just kind of share our love for the Black Poetry Cafe and just show all of y'all, you, Melissa, Queen Penn. We just wanted to show y'all that there's love out here for y'all, and we love everything y'all do, and y'all just mean a lot to us, and we just wanted y'all to know that.
Thank you for the love. Yeah. I return that love back to you.
Yep, and we thank you so much for having us and for giving us the platform and for pushing the word out there. We do have, like I said, we're taking small steps, but as BPC is known to do, we have big dreams. So we appreciate y'all.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, then we are at the end of the show. We want to thank everybody who came through and shared their pen with us. We have to do this again. Sometime. If there's ever something that y'all want to do online, on air, Drift the Mic platform is at your disposal, whatever you want to do. We have pure, no string attached love for y'all. So anything you want to do, feel free to reach out to me, and our platform is welcome to y'all at any time.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much. And thanks to everybody that called in as well, as you said. It was a great night.
It really was.
Absolutely, y'all. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and close the show. As I said, we are over time. It was such a good show that we just kind of forgot where we was. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Drift the Mic. You have a good rest of your night.
She
must be dreaming.